Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Vanishing American Adult is a work of cultural criticism, civic argument, and practical parenting advice by Ben Sasse, a former university president and U.S. Senator from Nebraska. Published in 2017, the book argues that the United States faces a coming-of-age crisis in which many young people remain dependent, passive, and uncertain about what adulthood requires. Sasse connects this problem to weakened habits of work, physical discipline, broad reading, civic understanding, and practical independence. Although the book is often discussed in relation to conservative social thought, its central concern is less party politics than the formation of capable citizens in a republic. Sasse writes for parents, educators, and readers concerned about the transition from childhood to adult responsibility. His purpose is both diagnostic and prescriptive to explain why traditional pathways into maturity have weakened and to propose habits that can help rebuild self-reliance, resilience, and civic seriousness. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, perpetual adolescence as a threat to civic self-government. The central argument of The Vanishing American Adult is that delayed adulthood is not merely a private family problem, but a public concern. Sasse contends that a republic depends on citizens who can make judgments, accept obligations, defer gratification, and participate responsibly in common life. When young people remain dependent for longer periods, lack practical competence, or avoid demanding commitments, the result is a weaker civic culture. The book links this problem to broad social patterns such as delayed economic independence, prolonged residence with parents, political disengagement, and a blurred sense of what marks the passage into adulthood. Sasse does not treat adolescence itself as bad. Rather, he treats extended adolescence as harmful when it becomes a permanent condition of low expectations and limited responsibility. His reasoning is institutional, as well as moral democratic self-government requires habits that are learned before political life begins. If families, schools, and communities fail to cultivate responsibility, then politics becomes more vulnerable to passivity, resentment, and manipulation. This makes adulthood a civic achievement, not just a biological stage. Secondly, parents as primary builders of maturity beyond formal schooling. Sasse is sharply critical of the idea that formal schooling alone can prepare young people for adult life. He argues that schools often emphasize age-segregated classroom routines, standardized performance, and credential accumulation while giving students too few experiences with real responsibility. His critique is not simply that schools perform poorly on academic measures, but that they can become substitutes for broader formation. In his view, maturity develops through mixed-age relationships, work, service, practical problem-solving, and intellectual curiosity, many of which cannot be outsourced to educational systems. This leads to one of the book's most concrete claims: parents must take direct responsibility for the moral and practical education of their children. Sasse does not present this as a narrow homeschooling argument, although his own family choices inform the book. Instead, he urges parents to design intentional experiences that expose children to difficulty, duty, and unfamiliar perspectives. The underlying mechanism is habit formation. Children become adults not by receiving abstract lectures about responsibility, but by repeatedly practicing responsibility under the guidance of adults who expect competence. Thirdly, hard work and bodily discipline as foundations of competence. A major prescription in the book is that young people need formative encounters with physical effort, bodily limits, and difficult work. Sasse argues that modern comfort can detach children from the relationship between labor, provision, and responsibility. When food, money, shelter, and entertainment appear without visible effort, young people may struggle to understand dependence, gratitude, and contribution. His emphasis on caring for the body is therefore not only about health or fitness. It is about learning that human beings are embodied creatures who need sleep, movement, endurance, and self-command. Similarly, his emphasis on work is not reducible to career preparation. He treats work as a moral school that teaches punctuality, persistence, humility, and the ability to solve concrete problems. The book often returns to manual labor and demanding tasks because they make consequences visible. A person who repairs, lifts, cleans, builds, or serves learns that effort matters and that other people rely on competent performance. The argument can sound austere to some readers, but its purpose is to reconnect maturity with practice capability. Fourthly, limited consumption and travel as antidotes to insulated childhood, Sasse presents consumerism as one of the forces that keeps young people immature. In his view, constant entertainment, easy purchasing, and curated digital life train the young to see the world as a source of stimulation rather than as a field of obligation. The habit of limited consumption is meant to counter this pattern by teaching restraint, gratitude, and independence from market-driven desire. This theme is paired with travel, especially travel that is not luxurious or passive. Sass argues that young people should experience places beyond their familiar social world so they can see scarcity, difference, and the contingency of their own assumptions. Travel, in this framework, is not tourism for status or amusement. It is a way of disrupting comfort and provincialism. The practical value lies in comparison. A young person who encounters different economies, cultures, and ways of living can better understand both the strengths and the limitations of home. Together, restraint and travel are meant to expand perspective while reducing entitlement. They teach that adulthood requires choosing, sacrificing, adapting, and seeing beyond the self. Lastly, wide reading and the American idea as intellectual preparation for adulthood. One of the most distinctive parts of the book is Sass's defense of serious reading as a core habit of adulthood. He argues that young people need more than information access. They need sustained encounters with difficult books that train attention, historical imagination, moral reasoning, and civic understanding. His proposed bookshelf includes classical, religious, literary, philosophical, and American political texts, reflecting his belief that maturity requires contact with inherited arguments about virtue, freedom, duty, and human nature. Reading matters because it slows the mind and allows the reader to live inside perspectives that are not immediately available through screens or social media. Sass also connects reading to national identity. He describes the United States as a nation organized around ideas rather than ethnicity, which means citizens must understand the principles, conflicts, and documents that shape American public life. This is not presented as antiquarian learning. It is preparation for judgment. A citizen who has wrestled with foundational texts is better equipped to distinguish slogans from arguments and inherited liberty from mere preference. In conclusion, the vanishing American adult is best suited for parents, teachers, civic educators, and readers interested in the connection between family formation and democratic culture. Its practical benefit lies in its concrete framework: cultivate bodily discipline, assign meaningful work, reduce passive consumption, expose young people to unfamiliar places, and build serious reading habits. Readers looking for a policy blueprint may find it less systematic than a conventional education reform book, while readers skeptical of conservative or religiously inflected cultural analysis may question some assumptions. Even so, the book offers a useful intellectual provocation because it treats adulthood as a learned condition rather than an automatic result of age. Compared with many books about youth culture, it stands out by combining parenting advice with a broader argument about citizenship. It is not merely a complaint about screens, schools, or generational weakness. Its distinctive contribution is the claim that private habits and public self-government are inseparable. The book asks what kinds of people a free society must produce if it wants to remain free. And it places much of that responsibility in families and communities, rather than distant institutions. If you would like to support Ben Sass, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.